Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hello, everybody. This is Tammy Gaskell, director of the Roelof Janssen Community Library in Copaic, New York, and I am joined today by Gretchen Hutschmeister at the Sharon, Connecticut, at the Hotchkiss Library. And today we are going to be talking about social media, which I think a lot of us have a love-hate relationship with in some ways. Certainly here at the library, I know it's a very useful tool, but it can also be problematic. So I think this should be an interesting conversation. And I'm going to pass it over to you first, Gretchen, and ask you, what sorts of social media accounts do you have and what do you use?
Well, thanks, Tammy. It's good to talk with you again. We are active on Facebook and Instagram. We have, I would say, more of a presence on Instagram. However, our demographic is more of a Facebook demographic. So we do tend to post things in both places. And I don't know if you count as social media our weekly e-blasts that go out through Constant Contact. That's similar. But it's, you know, it's really important to embrace all of these tools. I think we reach a younger audience. They drive community engagement. They allow us to collaborate with presenters, people coming to do programs at the library, to collaborate with other libraries, other nonprofits, other organizations in the community. I think it will only become more important in the future. It is hard to stay on top of, right? And you feel this sort of need to always be posting, right? You have to watch out for overposting, I guess, and you have to make sure you're reaching the right people. So thankfully, I have somebody on my staff called the Community Engagement Coordinator, a wonderful young woman named Caitlin, who's in her 20s, and she really spearheads this for us. We all give her material to use. We give photographs to use, but she's really in charge of it. How about you? What are you doing over in New York?
I would say very similar. We also have Facebook and Instagram. We have a Twitter account, or I guess now an X account. But we have stopped using that. We decided we needed to focus more, and we can't do everything. We also actually did set up a TikTok account, but we have not actively used that either, because we just, you know, it can become a real time sink if you're trying to do too much. And we decided to focus on Facebook and Instagram. Like you, I also have a staff person. She's our communications coordinator, and she is in her 30s, which I am not, so it helps. she says she spends about 3 to 5 hours a week doing this, along with her other duties. She's a regular librarian, but she does our communications as part of her job, and so she does that as well as our newsletter. We put out a newsletter 2 or 3 times a week. Press releases, flyers, all of that sort of thing. But social media takes up about 3 to 5 hours of her week. So we use ours primarily for promoting events, occasionally reminding people of the different services or things we have here that you can check out. More recently, with some of the, we'll use them for appeals, for fundraising appeals. We will use them for advocacy, for things like recently we had a conversation about the IMLS and potential funding cuts. We used it to educate people about what was happening there. And it's nice when you see some of your patrons pick up on these and share them. And so it can be a way of reaching an even broader audience than your followers if people share your posts.
Absolutely. I really like how you can use the data that you can track, and you can see what, you know, if you have an uptick in online donations after you put out a reminder right. about your annual appeal, mm-hmm. you can go in to the back end and you can see what resulted in a click and what actually followed through. And you can see what works and then, you know, continue to do that or do more of it. And you can see what doesn't work also. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see who's registered for your programs through the links that you have, stuff like that, which is great.
How many followers do you have? Do you have a sense of the demographics of your
yes,
followers?
Yes, I looked this all up. We track it every month. For Facebook, we average about 12 to 15 posts per month, and we have about 900 followers. On Instagram, we average about 30 posts per month, and we have about 1,100 followers. And we seem to be adding about 100 in the last 12 months. So
that's great. That's great.
You know, and you use tags and you, you know, we invite collaborators. We have our big book signing event coming up in 3 weeks. And so we, every time we post something about it, we tag the people who are participating. And Caitlin has also created posts for them that we sent to them to use mm-hmm. that link back to our stuff. There's a way to invite collaborators on Instagram when you prepare a post, and many of them have taken us up on that invitation, and then they collaborate with us. So then when somebody sees a post, it's both from us and from that author who's mm-hmm. coming to appear. So gets a little technical beyond my ill, but I could believe that's how it works. And I spoke with Caitlin yesterday, and we really like the reels, which are sort of like TikTok on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the most popular thing for us. Posts are good, of course. The stories are fine too, but they of course disappear in 24 hours. So she really enjoys making reels that drive a lot of engagement. She'll do one every month for our new books that are on the shelf. She's done one for the books that will be highlighted at our upcoming event, as I mentioned. So there's a lot of fun stuff you can do, but you know, it is a big time commitment, as you said.
We find that we get the most engagement from moms. It seems like those are the target audience.
Interesting.
I mean, Facebook and Instagram, I think we're reaching primarily families, mothers of children who using the library, and at least they're the ones that are most engaged as far as mm-hmm. Commenting and sharing. And
right, they're great. Those moms of young kids are so connected with other moms, right? And they will share it to different groups, which is great. Right. Facebook groups are great as well. I'm sure you have them over where you are. We have a Sharon Town group. We have a Northwest Connecticut Chatter group. So those are really helpful. Do you have things like that as well?
Yes. Some of the towns have their own Facebook groups. There's Columbia County wide, like Columbia County Second Homeowners, or groups that are for like the school district and parents. Mm-hmm. So depending upon mm-hmm. what we're posting, we would share it with different groups. Yes.
Right. How many followers do you have?
About a little over 1,200 followers on Facebook and 1,300 on Instagram. And mm-hmm. I think we do a similar number of posts. It sounds like we do maybe 3 to 4 posts a week on each of those. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are about upcoming events, but some of them are about past events, showing some of the things that we have done, mm-hmm. and especially if we've got some good
right.
photos.
Exactly. We find we get more engagement with those. People yeah. like to share them, or they like them more when they see the photographs of what's actually happened, right? We had a bubble guy here the other day, and the pictures that were up from that got lots of reactions of the happened, yeah. having a good time. But,
right. And having other people post about your library is really helpful, too. I mean, one of the stories
absolutely.
We had last year, we had Dan Pelosi, who is a local cookbook author and Instagram, you know, influencer who has thousands and thousands of followers. He donated a lunch that he was going to prepare for 6 people, you know, bring you and your friends as an auction item to our gala fundraiser. And after that, he posted about it and shared pictures on his Instagram. And we picked up over 100 followers for that. And over 1,100 likes, and you know, you know, it's good to have influencers as friends, but it's just having other people tag you when they're talking about your library is also very helpful.
Exactly. It's really interesting, as I said, the data tracking and seeing all that is really fun.
Have you ever had issues with people posting inappropriate content or comments on your social media account?
Actually, on Facebook, we had somebody who had been involved in the library many years ago post negative comments about the library. But just one time have we had that issue.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had anything else. Of course, you have to be careful with posting children's photographs, right, with Ashton. So
right.
We've gotten good at taking pictures of kids from behind.
From the back.
Right. From far away. You can see them. You can see that they're a child having a good time, but you can't identify who they are. That sort of thing. Have you had any trouble?
Not really, or not recently that I can think about. I mean, we have had, you know, sometimes, yes, on social media, you get people posting negative comments.
Right.
But we haven't had anything. I mean, we do have a social media policy, as most you should have, which states, like, if you're using our social media, what things are acceptable and what things are not, and stating that we can take things down if they are, like, if you're doing threatening things or posting obscene things or libelous content, or, you know, some of the stuff that is not protected by the First Amendment, because social media spaces for public libraries are considered designated public forums, which means there are protections for First Amendment rights.
Right. That's a good point to remember those things.
Absolutely. So it's important to have that policy in place so that, you know, if issues do come up, you know, you have something to fall back on.
Absolutely. Right. It's part of your tech policies. Absolutely.
Right.
For our state report in Connecticut, we track law statistics and data that we have to report to the state library. And I can't remember, actually, if we, I think there's just a question about, you know, do you use social media? I don't think they ask for number of followers or anything like that. Do you have to track that for your state report?
No. I mean, it's funny. Yeah, for the New York State report, I don't even know if they ask. I can't remember if they ask if we have social media. They may well not. It seems like, I think the state reports are kind of a step behind as far as what libraries are actually doing. And so they're always trying to catch up. And I really haven't added that in yet.
Right. But it's helpful for us to do. We did a fun thing this past winter. Caitlin organized a giveaway on Instagram during the cold weather. So we had a cozy book bundle giveaway. So it was a basket you could win with, you know, a fuzzy blanket and fuzzy socks and some hot chocolate mix and some fun winter books. And all you had to do if you were on Instagram was share and tag and tag a few people who would like it, you know. And then the people who tagged it, I think, three times were entered into a drawing. And then somebody won that. And that brought us a lot of new people as well. So that was a fun thing to watch happen. So I think it'll just be more and more of something that we all engage with. Seem to be a way to get publicity out there. So it's good, all in all, I think.
So what are your patrons reading these days?
Oh, there's so many new books this month. Did you have a hard time with your book order
for July?
Yeah,
there's several that are kind of at the top, yes.
Gosh, it was, I had my budget and I was trying to be good to stick to my budget. And it was very difficult doing the order for this month. But I just looked out on the hold shelf and Wally Lamb is out there with his new book, The River is Waiting, the Jess Walters new book, So Far Gone, and the Gary Steingart book, Vera or Faith, that are all coming out this month. It's a lot of big fic books. I know Abundance is still very popular in nonfiction. There have been a lot of holds on that. And then there's a new Ruth Ware thriller I didn't mention, The Woman in Sweet 11. And people are waiting for that as well. How about over with you?
Yeah, I mean, the popular books right now, I'd say, Taylor Jenkins Reid atmosphere about
yes.
the women involved in the 1980s space shuttle program. Big Beautiful Life, Emily Henry is up there, as well
Still
as
popular.
My Friend, the newest book by Frederick Bachman. Those seem to be
Bachman, yep.
The top of our readers' lists right now.
Yeah, I don't remember a summer with so many big books, especially this month. It was just crazy how many things were coming out. It'll quiet down in August, I think.
Probably so.
The titles.
So what are you reading, or have you recently read?
I just started a new book that I guess came out, I think, at the end of last year, which I hadn't read yet, called My Friends by Hisham Mater, who's a British writer, and it's about friendship of two men who grew up in Libya and what happens to them. They meet as adults, become friends living in exile, really, in Paris and London, and one of them returns to Libya during the Arab Spring time, and what happens to them years later when they reunite. One goes back to Libya and stays there, and one does not go home. And it's very beautiful writing, really, really interesting, but I'm just starting to dip into that. And I did read the new Kevin Wilson book a few weeks ago, Run for the Hills, and he's one of my favorite writers. If you need something funny, his book Nothing to See Here is one of my all-time favorites. And he has very quirky characters, and the new one, Run for the Hills, is about a guy who sets out on a road trip having discovered that his father, who abandoned his family, this man's family, when he was a young kid, went on to be a sort of serial father, shall we say. He across the country, he left these women and a child and moved on across the country. And as a man in his 40s, he discovers that he has three half-siblings, and he sets off on a road trip to find them and meet them. And they join together and then with him to try to find their father. And it sounds like a, you know, serious, upsetting kind of topic, but it's really beautifully done and very, very funny. And he has great characters, so I recommend that. By Kevin Wilson. How about you?
I've been back in the 19th century reading some classics. So I recently finished Middlemarch by George Eliot, which is a hefty book. It's the intertwined stories of the lives of various people in the British town of Middlemarch, written in the, I guess, in 1870s. It's considered George Eliot's masterpiece. And so I have read it a long, long time ago, back in college, and I wanted to go back to it. It focuses on the thwarted idealism of two of its main characters, Dorothea Brooke and Tertius Lydgate, both of whom marry disastrously. And does not end with the usual expected happy ending of women's literature of the era. But, really, really enjoyed that. And now I'm on to another one of her novels, Daniel Deronda. So I don't know why,
that's
but
great.
I
how was it,
feel like I want to go back.
How was it?
Or something.
That's great. How was it to revisit Middlemarch after a long time? Do you think
it was
lost on you as in your 20s versus now?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, when I read it, and I wanted to go back to it in part because an earlier phase of my life, I'm a historian, and I worked on papers of Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, suffragists of the 19th century. And when Middlemarch came out, all the suffragists were reading it. And I remember, you know, when I was working on their papers, just seeing them talk about this book. And I wanted to kind of go back to it and see why. You know, why were they so in love with this book? And you can see there is a very much, women are the main character. They're powerful. So you can see that it's why, you know, it there's a critique of marriage in it that the suffragists would have appreciated. Yeah.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting to go back to things that we read a long time ago, I find.
Yeah.
And see how they affect us in different ways.
And what sorts of events do you have coming up? I'm sure you've got a busy summer.
Yes. Well, our big event, our annual fundraiser, our signature event, is coming up on Friday evening, August 1st, and that's the 27th annual Sharon Summer Book Signing. And we have 29 authors coming to join us from beginning at 4:45 in the afternoon until 7:30. And all the details are on our website, but we have amazing, amazing authors. We have Martha Hall Kelly coming with her new novel, The Mayor, Martha's Vineyard Beach and Book Club. Amity Gage will be here signing her book, Heartwood. Chris Pavone will be here with his new thriller, The Doorman. Gary Steingart is coming with his new novel that came out the other day called Vera or Faith. We have a lot of nonfiction, pretty much any topic you can think of, including the new Sam Tannenhouse biography of William F. Buckley, one of our most favorite, should be careful with that, famous residents in Sharon, right? The Buckleys, who had a family estate just down the road from the library here. We have books on history from the region. We have political books. Chris Whipple will be here with his book Uncharted about the last election. We have an amazing array of children's books, including Rebecca Stead with her new picture book, and Anne Brashears will be here, and a lot of picture books. We'll have the big New Yorker anthology of 100 years of poetry, a century of poetry, that will be signed by a couple of the poets who are included in that anthology. We have author dinners afterwards. Seven of the authors will be staying on to have dinners in local homes. And then the next day, we're premiering a brand new event called Page to Plate. And from 10 a.m. until 4:30 p.m., we will have a series of demonstrations and talks with chefs and cookbook authors. So Anne Byrne will be here. Daniel Leader from Bread Alone Bakery will be here for a baking demonstration. Chris Morocco, who's the food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, will be here to talk about food media, and he will also do a demonstration. Jesse Sheehan will be here. Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein will be here demonstrating their cold canning technique. And we finish the day with novelist Adam Roberts, who will be talking about his new novel called Food Person. So we're really excited about the weekend. It's going to be great, and it raises a lot of funds that keep our doors open. So I hope lots of people will come, and all the details are on our book signing. For the book signing are on our website, rather. So that's our main thing. We do have, I want to thank you, Tammy, because we have a series coming up on AI, because you introduced me to Pam Doran, who does presentations at your library. So that's one of the benefits of our conversations. She'll be here on Saturday, July 26th for the first installment at 11 a.m. on Understanding AI. We have a lot of other stuff for kids and adults, a lot of arts and crafts programming coming up. So I encourage people to look at our website. I don't want to take all the time, so why don't you tell us what you have?
This month we have some workshop series coming up. The first one is a graphic novel workshop, a four-part series starting next Thursday, the 17th of July. So for four Thursday evenings, we'll be doing a graphic novel workshop with Barbara Slate, who's a graphic novelist who has worked with DC Comics and Marvel. This is open to teens and adults. Registration is required, and there is still space. So if you are interested, give the library a call. The other workshop series we have is Sight Singing 101. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to sight read music, this is your chance. This is a five-part series on Saturday mornings, beginning this weekend, the 12th of July, with Liz Fleischer, who has taught classes in the area and in New York City as well for quite a number of years, and that should be a fun series as well. Also, registration is required, so give us a call. And then we have a lot of children's programs. It is summer reading time, so that's always the way of it. We have a All About Butterflies program, which will be actually at the Mud Creek Environmental Learning Center in Ghent. That is on Tuesday, the 22nd at 11 o'clock, so feel free to join us there. Another outdoor program is Stream Explorers, and that is at the Rojan Kill. You can join us for that at the Rojan Park, just across the street from the library, and we will be with the Columbia Land Conservancy for a fun hands-on program. Then there's our usual book groups and tea time and Tai Chi. But those are the special programs for this month. So I do encourage people to check out our calendar, which is on our website. And we hope to see you at the library.
To see all the great stuff we have going on. Happy summer.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com.